Opening day technically is here. I mean, the Dodgers and Padres are playing baseball. Christian Scott made an appearance against the Marlins and looked fucking sick. Tylor Megill is the number five starter, and just a little bit of housekeeping in the Mets world. All that on the next episode of the Mets Club Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by Aura. Are you tired of receiving spam phone calls to the point where you don't even want to answer your phone anymore? That's because data brokers sell your information to scammers and spammers and anybody else who may want to target you. That's right, your full name, your home address, your health records, it's all out there. That's why we've been using Aura. Aura shows you which data brokers are selling your information and automatically submits opt-out requests on your behalf. Not only does this stop scammers and hackers from getting and using your information, but it also protects you from them using that information to get into your social media accounts or bank accounts too. Aura is always on duty, looking to keep you safe so you can focus on anything else you need to focus on with peace of mind. So stop data brokers from exposing your personal information to that and visit our sponsor at aura.com/metsedup. That's aura.com/metsedup to get a 14-day free trial and see how much of your data is being sold. We value privacy here in the MetsedUp podcast, and there's no better way to ensure your safety online than by using Aura. Thank you, Aura, for sponsoring today's episode.
What is up, Mets fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Mets Stuff Podcast. We have some smaller things to talk about today, but as you know, this is a pro Christian Scott podcast, and he just pitched against the Marlins and was phenomenal, was incredible. It was on TV. We got the Statcast numbers. We can see everything. He was going up against the Marlins major league roster essentially as well, and I don't know if it really could have gone any better than it did, and especially watching him live and with like good cameras and HD quality. Guy's disgusting. So me and James are going to talk about him, Tylor Megill, as well as what the ending roster might look like before we get going into opening day. Before we do get going into any of that, make sure you guys follow us on all our social media at MetsUp on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Subscribe to the MetsUp Podcast YouTube channel if you have not yet done so. And if you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, drop us a rating, drop us a review, download and subscribe. Remember, if you want an easy shout out on the podcast, drop us a good review and we'll read it out at the end of an episode. So James, what are we thinking about Christian Scott? How are you feeling?
Fucking awesome. Just a great day in general. You said at the top of the show, but baseball was back. Setting a 6 a.m. alarm and then falling asleep in the first inning felt so amazing with Yu Darvish on my computer in my bed. But just being able to watch baseball, ease into the day, and then have this fantastic Christian Scott start like in the middle of the afternoon. It's been a wonderful day of baseball. And Scott, just anyone who watched it, Twitter was ablaze. National media started picking him up. He was completely fucking lights out. It was sensational. Skip Schumacher was doing some media availability with the Marlins broadcast team, and he was like, I'm really happy to get this guy Scott out of the game. You know who came in after Scott? Edwin Diaz. And he was like, I can't wait to get this guy out. But it was full dominance. Everyone was on board. The Marlins announcers are like, this Christian Scott has a lot of zip on that fastball. It was just, he couldn't be stopped.
Yeah, the fastball looked great. The sweeper, or is it sweeper slider? What is it exactly?
He's got one of each. He has a sweeper and a slider.
Oh,
the sweeper is the new one.
Well, whatever one he threw to Trey Mancini was disgusting. It was absolutely filthy. It moved like, I was on the phone with my dad. I was on a little bit ahead of him while we were watching, and I saw a pitch. Went, oh my god! And then he's on the phone 10 seconds later. He goes, oh my god! And I was like, yeah, that sweeper was nasty. I'm ready to make some like crazy statements about Christian Scott, but I'll let you get into the numbers first.
I mean, we should be making crazy statements. I feel a little bad because everyone on Twitter today was comparing him to Wheeler. And I think we started that because he just kind of looks like him a little bit. And the arm slot is very similar, like we said, like when he had his first start against the Marlins a few weeks ago. But I don't know. Like, I don't want to compare anybody to Zach Wheeler, because Zach Wheeler is one of the best young pitchers the Mets have developed in the last two decades, and one of the best pitchers we've seen in our lives in Major League Baseball. He has some of the best playoff stats literally ever in the history of baseball. But it all looks like baby Wheeler. And just today, mixing the fastball with the sinker, mixing the gyro slider with the sweeper, showing a changeup with it, 7 strikeouts in 4 innings, no walks, also 0 3-ball counts. And he only threw, I think, 4 pitches with 2-ball counts the whole game. And it's just like, that is what Christian Scott is. It's overpowering stuff. He's filling up the strike zone. He's just not going to let you get on base for free. He's ahead of every hitter. Fastballs. The first inning was only fastballs. And it was just against lefties too. And he was throwing more of his 2-seamer today than the 4-seamer. So that 2-seamer was cutting back, like front dooring on the lefties. They just couldn't really get a grasp on it. He had a called strike to, I think, Vidal Brujan, the first at bat of the game. Brujan like picked his head up and like, looked around, blinked. He was like, oh, I was not prepared for that. And it was just, it was just a very advanced feel too, with this amazing stuff and filling up the strike zone. He worked inside to both sides of the plate with two seamer and four seamer, which it's a hard thing to do for a pitcher at any level, especially pitchers never pitched in the major leagues before coming, especially a guy who's on the righty who has fastballs that run in both directions, being able to work inside to righties and lefties. Like that's an advanced pitching method right there. He mixed both the sliders to the righties, lefties, he overpowered the fastballs. Changeup didn't have much feel for it today, but it really just didn't matter because everything was lights out.
Yeah, he's a future ace. I mean, I think there's just no way around it. The way that he looked, and again, it's spring training, take everything with a grain of salt, but the stuff that he showed in this game, you just don't really find too often. There's not many guys that have that kind of stuff, and the way that he was attacking hitters, the way that you've spoke about it so many times on this podcast, he doesn't get behind in counts. Like, he's just so aggressive. It gives you all those makings of what become aces in Major League Baseball. It's very, very hard to be a guy that walks a lot of guys, gets behind in counts, doesn't have that nasty stuff and still be so good, which is why sometimes maybe when you see me and James rank pitchers and you go, oh, why is Shane Bieber not on there? Well, Shane Bieber's not really that good because he doesn't have this stuff like this anymore like he used to. But then you see a guy like Christian Scott and you go, holy shit, like as long as the development path continues, because there's still more that we have to get out of Christian Scott for him to ever reach that crazy high potential that I'm talking about. But for him to continue on that development path, something that he adjusted to so quickly last year, as we know, and you've spoke about before with Eric Jaeger's working and tweaking and adding pitches. I mean, the sky is the limit with this kid. He's ridiculously exciting.
Especially because we've seen him get so good now so quickly. Like, I think that's like a big thing in sports, baseball in general, where it's like when you see improvement, that leads you to believe that there's more improvement coming next. And that is like, you can see that hard and fast with Christian Scott in his sweeper. That was the pitch that was going super viral today. Pitching Ninja tweeted out. Major League Baseball main account tweeted out. I want to shout out Alex Fast because he was liking my tweets. I was screen recording Christian Scott on Stream East and then putting them on Twitter. And he was liking them. And nice. Then MLB main. Then suddenly puts a Christian Scott clip up. I'm like, okay, hell yeah. But again, the two nasty whiffs on Trey Mancini and John Birdie, the rat, that went crazy viral. And they were both just look utterly out of place. They looked like not Major League Baseball players. And each of these guys had legitimate Major League careers against this Christian Scott sweeper. And the pitch was sitting 84-85, which would have been top 20 in velocity for an average sweeper last year in the major leagues. He was sitting between like 45 and 50 inches of average movement on it, plus drop and sweep, movement in both directions, better than major league average. It was just him breaking off that pitch. It was like, and he just learned this pitch last year, allegedly. And it's also funny, Tim Healy tweeted, we talked about it before, his original slider that Christian Scott has, his gyro slider, he learned from Max Scherzer, from Pitching Ninja. So this is someone who has an ability to keep adding pitches and learning things. The sliders both look amazing. He's throwing two different kinds of fastballs, which is something else that I want to talk about because his fastballs on the GOAT TJ Stats, the Spring Training Stuff Plus God, didn't grade out super well because Savant said they were all sinkers. But just watching them, some of them didn't move like two seamers or sinkers, whatever he's throwing. So I think probably four of them are misguided as fastballs. But even with that, they're still 96, 97, 95. So they're and they got tons of whiffs. So like that is more important than stuff plus grades. When you're seeing seven whiffs on 14 swings or whatever it was, something like that, that's going to be more important than a stuff grade just because that's what the results are. But everything he's doing, pitchability, advanced feel, velocity, staying ahead in the counts, it's all the stuff of a future ace.
Yeah, and what's crazy is, and just like talking from the content world now too, even like I don't know if he's gonna make top 100 lists because he's not on it right now. For there are a couple he's on, but like
Pipeline,
let's just say the biggest one, Pipeline. I don't think he's on Baseball America either, to be fair. I think he's not on that one yet. But let's just say Pipeline in general. He's going to get called up this year. He's going to throw innings, and he's not going to be able to ever actually get on that list because he's going to lose his rookie status. Do you think that there's anything to him throwing four innings today that makes you think this call-up could be a little bit closer than we think?
Yes, even just the fact that he is still in Major League camp right now, and I think same with Mike Vassell. They're some of the last guys to get the call down. I thought it was also interesting this happens on the same day that Tyler McGill gets announced as the five-star there because Jose Budo is also dominating camp, and Joey Lucchese has the veteran experience. So realistically, even if Christian Scott is ahead of Mike Vassell, which he might not even be because he hasn't touched AAA yet, like he's at best SP8, if not SP9, and also not on the 40-man roster. So many things technically have to happen for him to go, but you can't really watch Christian Scott and not think he's one of the five best pitchers the Mets have in the entire organization right now. And it's apparent. No one else in the Mets system can throw sliders like this consistently. No one can throw fastballs like this consistently. No one can throw strikes like this almost consistently, which is a funny thing to say, but I feel like there's going to be some moments where we're watching Adrian Hauser struggle in mid-April, be like, where the fuck is Christian Scott? But it's just this is the kind of bullshit with organizational politics, 40-man roster stuff, a little bit of service time manipulation, which is funny about it too, because I think Scott's already either 24 or just turned 25. So with the 6-year service time window, we suddenly have him for his entire pitching, not his entire prime, because pitchers hit their prime later, but we're going to have him for his entire part of his career that he has peak velocity. It's kind of a situation where, since it took him so long to develop because he came from reliever and because he came from college, we've almost now sunctured up this entire beautiful part of his career where he looks like it's almost can't miss at this point.
This is just going to be kind of crazy, but he is low key where he went to high school, Cavalry Christian. I knew it was sounded familiar out in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Andrew Painter was at that school as well. This is low-key a pitching lab school, by the way. Nice. So in terms of guys just recently in the majors, you have Andrew Painter, Christian Scott, and then you have Jake Eder, who, again, say what you want about him, but he's a major league pitcher. That's pretty insane. Luke Jackson, a.k.a. Puke Jackson, also pitched there. And they have Irv Carter, who's a young, exciting prospect in the Blue Jays organization, who's also got crazy stuff. So I'm like, damn, a little bit of a pitching factory down there in Cavalry Christian. And to answer your question, he is 24, turning 25 in June, the middle of June, June 15th.
Yeah, okay, so that's it. Also, like, June 15th is also a funny day for his birthday, because that feels like when the call-up could become real. It almost has
to like,
be.
But maybe it's earlier, because I don't, like, here's the thing, and I know I'm going to be the one who's going to be, like, a little bit exaggerating in today's podcast and just getting people excited about probably nothing, but you don't really see guys stay in camp this long if there isn't a thought that you're going to be up pretty soon. Like, 4 innings today on March 20th when the season is a week away. There, I'm not saying he's going to be opening day. That's not happening. I throw that out the window. But, like, May 1st, let's say someone's nicked up, someone's bruised. Maybe Adrian Hauser stinks. Whatever it's going to be. Like, I think there's a world where Christian Scott could be up here as soon as May 1st.
The key is the 40-man spot. That's the thing holding him back right now. There almost has to be someone winds up on the 6-day IL in this pitching staff for him to get that spot and him to get the call. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could be 10-day IL. No, because 60-man opens up a free 40-man spot. You still have to knock someone off the 40-man if there's only a 10-day IL spot. That's the key right now.
And again, really? I thought, okay.
Yeah, we still have Luis Severino. We're really excited about Severino, but we've known in the past. He had a quote the other day about how good he felt coming through camp. That was the first time since 2018 he's going to get through camp completely healthy. So that's like...
Oh, Mojo, sorry.
Sorry, Mojo. Mark's dog was sitting this week, for people who weren't watching the stream last Friday. But Jose Quintana had a tumor last year, where he missed half the year. He was on 6-day IL, which we thought was for no reason. And also, Quintana and Severino, depending on how the season goes, are suddenly... trade pieces too for the Mets. So that's why, like, the worst case scenario for Christian Scott, it's going to be the beginning of August. And that is kind of, if we think back, it's been a long time. I understand Mets fans. That was when you saw Harvey come up for the first time. I think that was when you saw Syndergaard come for the first time. And he's like, not Wheeler, I think, was earlier in the season. He had a bit of a weirder path, but that's kind of when you see these prospects start to come. And again, I think right now there's no question he's one of the 5 or 6 best starting pitchers in the Mets organization. He might even be 2 or 3. You could probably sell me on one if you catch me after a few drinks. But it's just the way all this bullshit works, and we know it's just that you want to get the extra year, you want to manipulate the time, and we're just not an organization right now who probably has enough pitching depth that they're going to start cutting pitchers willy nilly. Like, they're gonna burn Grant Hartwick down to the bone before they wind up cutting him. Like, you're gonna try to squeeze every last ounce of Phil Bickford's arm before you release him. Like, that's just what these baseball teams do. Yeah, Joe Lucchese is getting innings right now, guys. Like, he's a veteran. That's just how it works. Like, you don't just get rid of assets for nothing. And stupid, because he is one of the 5 best, but you're just not gonna see him again. Stupid, but that sadly is how it fucking works.
Okay, so before or after he turns 25, June 15th, will he be up or down?
Slightly after. I think July 1st is my day. That's my Christian Scott day. Big circle on it.
I'm taking the under. I'm taking before.
All right, should we do a messed up bet? Over under July 1st?
Yeah,
well,
over under July 1st. I don't know. Let's do a beer at the game. And then whatever next game that he cut. Well, we're going to be at his debut. So whatever his debut is the person.
All right, that's an easy one. I'll take it. Because also, again, it is funny that this is all happening. This start happens like an hour after Mendoza officially announces Tyler McGill as the 5th starter. And McGill, like, for all intents and purposes, has earned being the 5th starter this spring. Like, there's no doubt about it. A lot of people listening, Mark and I, saying, everyone's been hurt by Tyler McGill before. We've watched Tyler McGill be good. We've watched Tyler McGill be bad. We've watched Tyler McGill be healthy. We've watched Tyler McGill get hurt. That's what happens every day to Tyler McGill. Some combination of those 4 things, and it goes. But, 3.5 ERA, 1.0 whip. 16 strikeouts and four walks, 16 spring innings. Like, that is good enough. But it was interesting to me that Mendoza, on McGill, on the way out of this interview, little presser, he gave a little dig to McGill. He said, this was Senga's spot. He didn't really earn one of the five spots. He kind of got the spot that opened up, which also plays into the Christian Scott stuff too. If Senga does come back, that shrinks rotation, the opportunity a little bit. But we also don't know with Senga coming back. Everything seems really ominous every single day about it. But I thought that was a nice little dig that Mendoza had to give McGill walking out the door.
I kind of respect that a little bit too. Basically, like, listen, if you still want to keep this spot, yeah, stay hot, kid, because Jose Budo's been fantastic. And not that we're rooting against Tyler McGill. We love Jose Budo on this podcast. Maybe we'll get him on one day. But it's just like the idea is that there are guys behind you. Got to stay sharp. And I kind of like that. This is a little bit of Terry Collins when 2014, 15, when he mentioned, like, there's plenty of guys who want to take your spot. If you don't want to be here, if you're not going to perform, we'll find someone who will. And I'm like, I kind of like that for a guy who probably needs a little bit of a kick in the ass. We met Tyler, lovely fellow, but he's big drip. He said it himself. He's like, I'm Tyler McGill. I play League of Legends at home. Like, that's what I do.
It's also funny because when Terry Collins said that, whenever it was 14, 15, 2016, there was really no one else to actually take those spots. Mets farm system was fucking abysmal.
Absolutely not.
Triple A was a wasteland, a barren wasteland with 35-year-olds who were never going to have a career in the major leagues. TJ Rivera.
Ty Kelly.
Was a folk hero. Eric Campbell. Like, these were the people. These were the people that were competing for those spots. But now it's suddenly getting hot. And these guys see Christian Scott. They see Mike Fassel. They're seeing how much Jose Budo's developed. They see Brandon Sproul and Nolan McLean right behind them. Like, this isn't a thing anymore where Tyler McGill has 3 years of runway development to his early 30s, yeah, basically, and David Peterson just to hang out and pitch because no one else here to pitch. And I would honestly be interested to see if Senga didn't get hurt, which would, one, be awesome, but two,
awesome,
if who would have actually gotten this first try at SP6 if he was here, because Budo has been amazing. He said, like, 9 strikeouts in 10 innings, 1 run this spring. The stuff looks amazing. He's talked himself about, I read an article, was it Healy? Was it Will Salmon? It was one of the Mets beat writers that Budo thinks that he himself got to the next level. One was the pitch design, everything Mets player development has done, but two, self-scouting, watching himself on the mound. And literally, he didn't say this exactly, but just the way he was talking about bringing more dog. And when he was up pitching the major league last year, he was like, I wanted to throw as hard as I could. I wanted to use emotion. I wanted to intimidate the other hitters. Like, I wanted to go up there and, like, earn my spot. And he's brought that to spring training. Spring training debut, Jose Budo was, like, flexing and screaming. Like, this is someone who fucking wants a spot. And we're going to see Budo in the rotation, like, second week of April, because the Mets have 12 games in 12 days, while I'm going to be gallivanting across Europe, which is kind of funny. It's going to be very different what the Mets are doing, what I'm doing. But I'd be interested to see who is actually winning in this race, or if McGill's just getting it because he's the veteran, and because they know Budo is going to come up like a week later.
Yeah, I think it could definitely be that, the veteran, give him the nod, prove to us that you can't do it kind of thing. Like, we don't necessarily know what Budo truly is yet still, even though he looks good. We kind of have an idea of what Tyler McGill is going to give us. It's safe, and if he sucks, you move on to the next guy. It's really that simple. But we hope we have this problem all year long. I'd love to be like, oh my God, pitchers. We have too many good pitchers. Yeah.
And also, just any guy you want, move to the bullpen, could figure it out. Trevor McGill, we said it a few times in the show. He's like one of the best relievers in baseball that no one knows about, guys. He's going to be the closer. He's going to be the closer for the Brewers to start the year with Devin Williams on the IL, and he's fucking disgusting. He's like everything that McGill is, but you put it into one inning. So it's 99 fastball and breaking off a crazy slider. And it's like, oh, that would be nice if you could do that. But the competition's good. Like, pressure makes diamonds. Shout out RG3. It's just, you got to do shit like this if you want to make a good baseball team. Look, like, I mean, like, I want to kind of transition a little bit to talking about just baseball for like 10 minutes, just because I love baseball and baseball started today. We actually got to watch regular season baseball, but like, they were talking about Gavin Lux a lot in the broadcast. He had a really good game today. He had the hit that wound up going through Jake Cronenworth's glove, the weird play of the day. Shout out to Padres for selling their souls against us in the 2022 playoffs. But like, they talked about the fact that when the Dodgers a few weeks ago told him, like, hey, you're not going to be shortstop anymore. You're moving back second base. Mookie's coming to shortstop. A lot of players were taking that as demotion. But he took it like, okay, so my bat is still good enough to be on this team. I'm still good enough to be on the best team in baseball. Like, let's go. Like, I can't let Miguel Vargas or anybody else take the second base job from me. Like, I need this job. Like, this, I want to be on the field. Like, I need to do everything I can to stay on the field. I think that is hopefully the culture right now is being built among this Mets pitching staff, especially.
Yeah, and I mean, even on the offensive side, like, there's a little bit of pressure right now on who's going to be getting, theoretically, this last spot, because we know Omar Narvaez is getting one of them, we know Joey Wendell's getting one of them, we know Tyrone Taylor's getting the other. There's kind of then only one spot for about, what, like, four-ish or five guys in terms of, or maybe two spots, I guess, for four or five guys. that being Vientos, who I think is making the team. I've got a gut feeling that I think he's just going to make it out of spring. And part of that is because G-Man Choi, Luke Voit, and DJ Stewart have looked about as bad as you possibly can. Not really hitting the ball hard, not really taking good at bats, just kind of looking a little bit overmatched. And that was the exact opposite of what we saw from DJ Stewart last spring, too. So is this something that maybe DJ Stewart got figured out a little bit after you saw a couple hundred at-bats of him at the major league level? Is the pressure making them crumble? It's who's now going to take this last spot? And I truthfully don't know. I have no clue. Jose Iglesias?
I was thinking that, too. Like, the Mets right now, Stewart, Choi, and Voit, none of them have a batting average above 200. And this is not a batting average podcast, but you need to get a few hits in spring training if you're trying to make the team, I think, to make it. Like, these guys are a situation where you probably want to see results to do it. So, I mean, why not just go uber defense if none of these guys are proving it? DJ has the option anyway. It is also ironic that last season, DJ had such a good spring, and then he went down for months, and then he comes up and he actually hits this year. Now it's a bad spring, but he has the option. It's probably going to get used. I think he's going to get sent down just because he gives nothing on defense anyway. So we probably, I mean, and Tyrone Taylor's been awesome. Trace Thompson went down the last round of cuts too, who was really hot to start spring, and I think they're going to keep him and hopefully keep him around for outfield depth. But Zach Short and Jose Iglesias are both hitting right now. Like, give one of them the spots to get a little more infield flexibility. Jeff can mix it in the outfield. We know that. Just let's go defense, pitching, because otherwise, like, not who I don't really want any of these guys on the roster the way they're hitting.
No, like we talked about, the pitchers are kind of making it tough to figure out who it is. The hitters are doing it on the exact opposite of nobody is really stepping up. And that's why I think Vientos is just given the spot, because out of that group of guys, I think he's clearly been the best. And it's not that he's been incredible by any means. Like, him and Brett Beatty have had their struggles this spring, but they've been better than those guys. They've been players that deserve to make this roster out of opening day. And yeah, that Jose Iglesias thing that you brought up as well, I agree, because you mentioned Jeff McNeil can play the outfield, so you don't even really need that kind of depth with big quotation marks that DJ Stewart could give you as an outfielder, even though we're not that comfortable with him out there.
No, not really. It doesn't seem like the Mets or Davis Stern are either. But again, in the spring training game today, he still hit third because I think he didn't want to give him the at-bats. Like, prove it. Get a shot. He's not there. He took a walk today, which was nice, but he's been striking out a lot. I think G-Man Choi had three strikeouts and made three or four at-bats today. He looks dead. Yeah, Luke Voit also looked horrific. You guys imagine the guy who wore a sleeveless jersey at Syracuse last year is not good in Major League Baseball player? I literally can't believe it, but I don't know. This last roster spot, I even think this like might be a half of a hot take that the Mets might, I don't think it's going to be J.D. Martinez. I'm sure it's not going to be J.D. Martinez. I mean, maybe like 5-10% chance, but I could see the Mets being a little bit active on like the waiver market, the cut market as spring training ends for guys without options. Guys on teams with a lot of bats, teams like the Cardinals, teams like the Dodgers, teams like the Rays, who a guy like Harold Ramirez probably he could get cut loose. Like, that's a guy, like, just thinking about these fringy roster type players who might not have a defensive home, but they're much better DH options than what the Mets are looking at with spring training right now. Because guys are always going to cut loose. Shit like this always happens. I think this is originally how Adelis Garcia was picked up a couple years and years ago by the Rangers, an end of spring roster cut by the Cardinals. So there is going to be talent on the board, players you can develop. And I think the Mets now have the flexibility to add someone like that.
Yeah, no, we'll pick up their Luke Voits and G-Man Choi's and whoever. They're playing a little bit better this spring. And I think, if they didn't send down Trace Thompson already, I would have picked him, honestly. He had a great spring.
Great. And I think he's just extraneous with Tyrone Taylor. And Tyrone Taylor's like a better version.
You know what, this
thing, so might as well do it.
Team would have really loved Ronnie Mauricio to be healthy right now.
Would have been fucking perfect last player in this roster. That's the part that's so annoying, too. He's just getting reps in the DR and tears ACL in a nonsense play. But one good thing, cool, we wrap up Mets talk here. Brett Beatty has actually been hot. Like, something might really be happening here. He's been pulling the ball. It's still on the ground a little bit, but at least it's being pulled. But since the beginning of March, 3 weeks of games, 31 plate appearances, 310, 393, 517 slash, two homers, only three walks and four strikeouts. Strikeouts were an issue for Beatty last year, which is cool. And he's been playing good defense. He's been playing back and on the line a little bit. Like, it seems like all of baseball, the entire game together, is something that could come together for Brett Beatty at once. And four balls in play, at least 105 miles an hour, leading the team.
Yeah, and we heard from our friend of the podcast, Matt Eddy, that Beatty is a slow starter. It takes him a while to get going. And as we know, his spring started off a little bit slow. Now he's kind of getting into the rhythm of things. Hopefully that leads into getting into a rhythm during the regular season, because boy, oh boy, if we could fix that black hole at third base offensively, that does change how this team feels at the plate.
I want to shout out Matt too for a second. I was DMing him today. We're in a dynasty league together. Shout out to Devil's Rejects. And he did not keep Christian Scott in favor of keeping Brian De La Cruz.
Wow.
It's a 20 team league. It's a very deep league. So we wanted some guaranteed major league plate appearances. But I had the second, my team was tanking. We're in a big rebuild. So I snatched Christian Scott up with the second overall pick. And the second he dropped him, I was like, I know you're going to take him. I was like, you're right. And I took him. He was like, I knew you were going to take him today. He was like, I'm so mad I dropped him. I was like, yep, I should be. So shout out Matt, but yeah,
snooze you lose, about Matt. That today.
He looks so good. Chris Scott looks fucking good. National media was talking about
so fucking good.
Fucking awesome.
So good. I mean, like for a Mets prospects just don't pitch this deep into spring either normally. How many guys, even across baseball, are not going to start the year at the major league level and get to actually start a game for four innings on March 20th?
And he got the 60 pitches. Like, that's someone who's ready to start. Like, that he's stretched out. He's ready to go. Like, I think they're probably looking at this guy like, how the fuck can he not? How can he not?
Does David Stearns historically, like, can we go back and look at some Brewers teams?
Brings him
on
slow.
Yeah, I know he's a slow guy, but is that even with pitching too?
Yes. Woodruff, Burns, Peralta all started their careers in the bullpen.
Yeah, Woodruff. Oh, my God. Yeah, because Woodruff was the 2018 playoff run, right, where they went to the NLCS and were, like, so close to beating the Dodgers. Yep. And Woodruff started the year in the bullpen, became a starter by the end. God damn it. Fuck.
No, he's smart. It's a fucking shame how smart he is. But
We got to talk about that amazing Reddit post about David Stearns.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about it. I'll pull it up right now. It was also oh, my God. This is amazing. The funniest thing, too, was that this wasn't even in the Mets actual subreddit. This was in, there's two Mets subreddits. There's New York Mets, which is the big one. It has like 100,000 people in it. And then there's one that's just Mets. That's like 20,000. And it's definitely where more of the creatures lie. That's where we get a lot more hate in this subreddit than the bigger New York Mets subreddit. People hate us in this one.
When I tweeted out how Jeff McNeil hitting fourth was perfect, and all the people in my replies being like, perfect, are you, like, what are you smoking? I'm like, fucking that good shit, man, because that's what you want. We want Jeff McNeil hitting fourth.
All right, where is it? Did it get taken down? God, where is it?
I mean, we could just pull up the tweet as well.
I wanted the real post because the post had some comments that didn't make it on Twitter that were fucking unbelievable. So this is, honestly, I would even be down. We need to like do some segments. We got to have some more fun with this. We kind of forgot what it was like to have fun in this podcast because we weren't allowed to have fun last year. So we're trying to think about more ways to have fun again. So maybe like Mets subreddit post of the week would be funny. I want to shout out my boy Rob, Scotch Plains guy. He's deep in the real Mets subreddit. He holds our water a lot in there. He's a great guy. But on the Mets subreddit, anyone else concerned David Stearns didn't actually grow up a Mets fan? That's the title. He was asked his favorite player growing up after his press conference and couldn't give an answer. He said he sneaked, good grammar, into Shea as a teenager. With my math, that means early 2000s. Great math. All of this information is publicly available. His birthday and whatnot. Guys, David's lying. Security would never let that happen. Even then, I think we have an issue here. It's very possible he's not passionate about the Mets. He went to Harvard. That's the Boston area. New York's biggest rival town, Boston's one of them. It's very possible the culture there and the professors played mind games on him as a young man and made him resent the Mets. I'm getting a stomach ache just thinking about this. And why is he always smiling when bad things happen to the Mets? I think he's just here to sabotage and torture us. So shout out to Happy Explorer 6606, because this is the fucking galaxy brain take of the week. And again, the comments are amazing. Reddit's the best. I spent a lot of time on Reddit. Shit's hilarious. The first comment was to Charlie Kelly clip in the mail room where he has all the things and he's pointing and he's freaking out.
Yep.
And then the next one, the most upvoted Happy comment.
Sylvia.
I'm not joking. I think you should seek professional mental health treatment.
So here's the thing. Is this a serious post or is this bait? What do you think?
I think there is a weird constituency of Mets fans that are so deep in the weeds on fucking everything that I actually think that it's like 70-30, it's real. Because there are a lot of Mets fans who secretly do hate David Stearns, truthfully, because they think Ivy League, killing the game, analytics, fake fan, all that shit.
He fired Buck Showalter, the greatest manager to ever put on the Origin Blue. So, you know, that's why you got to hate. He has no respect for Buck, despite Buck deserving no respect. He got rid of him. That was his problem. I just, the line that got me, two lines, were he went to Harvard. That's the Boston area, New York's biggest rival town. Yeah, shouldn't have gone to maybe the best school in the entire country. It's New York's rival town, city, by the way, not even a fucking town. And then two, it's very possible the culture there and professors played mind games on him as a young man and made him resent the Mets. Why would they not make him hate the Yankees if it's Boston? Why would he hate the Mets? There's this is the Pepe Sylvia meme all over the place. These lines aren't connecting at all, but God damn it, this is an amazing post.
And also, could you imagine the long con from David Stearns if he had spent 10 years grueling up through the ranks of baseball, Major League Office, Houston Astros, finally got his big break with the Brewers, then to finally have connection and relationship with Steve Cohen for about 2 years under the radar. Everybody forgets to talk about Bob Nightingale and Buster Olney. We're talking about David Stearns to the Mets in early 22, late 21, which really got swept under the rug. Incredible fucking tampering by our guy, Uncle Steve. And so then for this to come through, would be like, now I'm ready to destroy the Mets. That kind of discipline, that kind of work ethic for 10 straight years working only towards destroying the Mets, who most oftentimes do a very okay job destroying themselves. Like, it would be fucking impressive if that was actually David Stearns' way there. But that was fucking amazing. Good on you for remembering that.
If David Stearns did that long play, honestly, President of the United States, like, he's got the biggest brain of all time. If this was his move, I'd respect him more than anybody. He should be leading wars. He should be making the biggest decisions that this country could ever make, because my God, if he was doing this for decades, trying to just sabotage the team, like you said, that does it to themselves. I mean, you got to respect that level of hate. I can't even get there.
No, get there. No one can even imagine getting there. So, I mean, maybe we should reach out to this person, see if they can come on the podcast, because I'm sure the Happy Explorer 6606 has a lot of stuff to say. Oh, wow. Oh, no, this... Okay, I'm going through his profile right now. So he either is one of the greatest satirical artists of our generation, or he is so deep in these weeds and is so serious, because it's all stuff talking about Salicata. It's all WFAN subreddit. Why Sal so nasty to his callers? I'm very concerned about the afternoon show during baseball season because Tiki doesn't seem to care or pretend to know what baseball is. As soon as Sal said,
is serious.
No, this guy's all in.
He's serious.
Or it could be pure satire, but it'd be really deep on the satire. But it's so cool when, like, this kind of shit like this, like, because these creature Mets fans, like, make it to national media because we are sickos. We're the best. Like, we're disgusting. It's amazing.
What do you think he thinks about the vaccine, this guy?
I can't like it. Cannot like the vaccine. Lots of questionable science in that vaccine from Happy Explorer 6606. I don't even want to scroll too far.
Maybe we'll be able to find out.
Yeah, because it's all New York sports takes. Once you get past the New York sports takes, I'm sure it's a lot of, I don't even know. It's a lot of, like, furries porn and vaccine truthisms.
Well, guys, that was a fun episode. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching, whatever you are doing it on. Make sure you follow us on our social media at MetsUp on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Subscribe to the MetsUp Podcast YouTube channel if you want to see the video version of this. And if you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, drop us a rating, drop us a review, download, and subscribe. Again, if we get any reviews from you guys that are positive, I don't know, even if they're negative, we'll still read them out. We're always here looking for criticism, trying to get better. So if you have something that you think we should improve, tell us. We're happy to hear it.
Also, if you rate us 5 stars, like, we'll say anything you guys read. Anything. We have no corporate overlords anymore.
Well,
say anything.
Not anything.
Well, no, not anything. Nothing bad. Nothing defamatory to us that you can clip. But, like, if you guys want to just talk massive shit about us, like, we will read it out loud if you give us a 5-star review.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. So drop us a review. We really do appreciate it. Follow James on Twitter at
James_Shiano.
And me at DraftNickMarkey. Had one more thing before I close it out.
Before I close it out, I want to do, like, some kind of fan engagement shit this year. I went deep in the weeds on Fantrax, like, it's a cool, like, customizable fantasy site, and want to do a home run derby pool with Mets fans listeners. There's going to be 200 spots in the league, so 198 plus Mark and I, where it's going to be a rotisserie league technically, but there's only one stat being tracked, and that's home runs. And you're going to be able, anyone's going to be able to get any 10 players they want in the whole league. Might make some more rules once we start drumming some engagement, but look out on Twitter this weekend or early next week. We're going to start going for that and just see how many people we can fill it up with. And we're going to have a prize at the end of the year for who is the Mets Dub Home Run Derby King.
Yep. And yeah, that's it. Thank you guys for listening and watching. We'll catch you on the next episode. Peace out.
Peace out. See you guys next time.